you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at 9:70 a.m. on your radio dial in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Or you can visit us on the web streaming live at true-church.org. And we just thank God for all of you that have come to experience A True Church Perspective. Thank you for the wonderful emails and especially the financial support that you are sending. It is really being a blessing to us. I can honestly say that since we've been on the radio, people have actually sponsored this broadcast. And if you want to send in donations, you are more than welcome to. We will give that address at the end of this broadcast, or you can just do it online on our website. It is just a wonderful thing for the body of Christ to come together at this time, in this end time, and support ministries that are doing a true work for the Lord. And our prayers and our hearts do go out to those that are in the nation of Haiti and the tragedy that fell upon them and all the many that lost their lives in that. And our prayers go out that it would be a moment where people will recognize that this is a part of biblical prophecy. The Bible said that there would be earthquakes in diverse places, meaning that strange places would experience earthquakes or places where earthquakes are not even expected. These things would come forth in the last days. So this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I've heard a lot of people talk about relief to Haiti and sending money, but I don't hear many preachers preaching about the end time and the earthquakes in diverse places according to the scripture, and how this is a part of the end time biblical prophecy. We had the huge hurricane a few years ago, Katrina, and now we are having this earthquake in Haiti, and both of these places were laced with witchcraft and false god worship, and they were dominated by Satanism, and all these things had just risen up to a level where these tragedies have come upon these cities. And we cannot take a natural perspective of this, but we must realize that in the spirit, God is not pleased when people give themselves over as a whole to wickedness and begin to practice wickedness openly, and openly acknowledging that the god of their nation is Satan, or the god of their nation is a false god. When these particular things begin to happen, we begin to see these tragedies occur. And I want the people of God to know, and God has given me a word for this year and really shown me that this is the year that the fake is going to be separated from the real, and we're going to have to take a stand this year if we are true believers in the face of all kinds of adversity. This is the year that you stand up or you sit down. There will be no middle ground this year. There will be no gray area this year. Just different things are going to call for you to either stand or sit down. And that is because I believe that the next major tragedy that's going to befall a people is going to be the United States. I believe that the United States is on the radar right now because of us giving ourselves to the homosexual agenda, same-sex marriage. So many states are accepting that agenda because the preachers and the church have decided to back a president that is for abortion and for same-sex marriage and for transgenders and bisexuals. I believe that because the church has not made a stand, but these last few years we've decided to allow sin to flourish and not stand against it, I believe we are on the radar and headed in the same direction, and we're going to begin to see tragedies right here in our homeland. You know, we're an arrogant people where we sit back, we kick back, and we just believe that God has just got it and he's got us and nothing's going to happen. We've listened to these money-stealing preachers for so long that preach your miracle, your season, your destiny, favor, purpose, breakthrough, all of this stuff so long until we've developed an arrogance about serving God as if we got it, as if we are the chosen nation, when if you really research the scripture, you don't find America in the scripture. You don't find us there. We're not a part of biblical prophecy, so to speak. So our arrogance, I don't know where it's coming from, but we better look at Haiti. We better look at Katrina. We better look at these events, the tsunami. We better look at these different events and see that they were calculated toward those that practiced sin and did not acknowledge the true God and his laws. And when a nation gives themselves over to that, destruction befalls that nation. So stop being arrogant, people, and open your eyes and hear the voice of the prophet and realize that America is headed straight for destruction, and we better pray that people begin to stand for God in this last hour. You know, on our website, exministries.com, we have a news page, and it's called the EX Times. And I hope you can go to our website, www.exministries.com, and look at our news page, and we give the latest news. And I gave this prophecy at the beginning of the year that people will begin to choose the side that they're going to stand on. And lo and behold, we have gospel recording artists and different ones that are going secular now. Just different ones. Kim Burrell, Shirley Murdoch, all these different ones are finally making secular albums and deciding that gospel is not the genre of music that they want to be a part of solely. And they're trying to play both ends. And it's going to always happen through the music. And you know that as long as we support this stuff, we're going to push these people into the limelight, and they're going to take many with them when they switch sides or when they sell out. And then we watch in the Stellar Awards and the celebration of gospel and all this flamboyant homosexuality and AIDS slinging sissies all over the stage and singing dressed in pink with flowers on their shirts, all these down low singers and all of this foolishness going on, y'all. And it's bold and it's in your face because they know that the church is not going to stand up, but the famous preachers are giving them a pass because they themselves are indulging in this gay foolishness. And so I do believe that destruction is coming upon this land because of the lifestyles that the Americans are condoning. We are not standing, and because of that, we are headed in the same direction, so to speak. So keep praying, y'all, and stand for God no matter what it costs you. It may cost you a record deal. It may cost you a reality show. It may cost you some friends. It's gonna cost you something, but anything worth standing up for is worth losing things for. So please, people of God, hear me. Destruction is coming, and you better be on the right side in this last and evil day. And we know the right side is Christ's side. Christ's side is the right side. All we need is the word of God to show us what side that is. We talked about that in our second lesson on the I Ams of God, where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We know we are supposed to stand with light and not with darkness. And we are actually on the fourth I Am of God. We started out the first week, I am the bread of life. Second week, I am the light of the world. The third week, I am the door, which was last week. And this week, Christ said in John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. So let's talk about shepherds right now. We know shepherds, we're talking about pastors, and we're talking about the leaders when we talk about shepherds here on earth. But Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And he's saying good shepherd because he wants to be the example of what a shepherd is supposed to be like, how a shepherd is supposed to govern himself. Jesus wants to be that example. Let's read John 10, starting at 10 and 11. It reads like this. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd who owns the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Very powerful words coming from Jesus, calling himself the good shepherd. And he's using in contrast, showing that he shepherds the sheep. The sheep follow him, as we learned last week, out of the door. He is the leader of his sheep. They know his voice. He knows them, and he leads them into pasture, according to what we read last week, 10 and 9. So, you know, God gave us pastors to lead sheep. And we believe, and I believe, that in the fivefold ministry, I believe it's all consistent with the scripture, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, the apostle. These are the leaders in the body of Christ, and I believe they're all equal. I believe they're all equal, and I believe they are all to hold each other accountable, but they're all different works. They're all fingers on the hand of God. Every finger is important, and each finger has a different function. I believe the pastor or bishop, bishop and pastor is the same word in the Bible. I believe the pastor and bishop or bishop is the shepherd of the sheep. A lot of people like to make the bishop the shepherd of shepherds, which, you know, you can play around with those words if you want to. But I truly believe that the shepherd is the pastor or bishop, and he's the leader of the sheep. But there are some qualifications to leading the sheep that you have to meet according to the scripture. And I'm not talking about Timothy's qualifications as far as, you know, being the husband of one wife and these different things, but I'm talking about the qualifications of the call, being called by God. What position or what mindset does the shepherd have? What mindset? Well, the Bible said, let that same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, he's telling you right here how he's the good shepherd. What does he do that it makes him the good shepherd? All through the scripture, even before Christ came, God was speaking as the shepherd of the sheep. We know that David referred to him in Psalms 23. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. He said, I shall not want for anything, or I have everything I need. I have a shepherd that will look after me and take care of me. Psalms 100, we know he says, we are the people and the what? The sheep of his pasture, meaning that he cares for us. Isaiah 40 says he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Speaking of Jesus coming, he would feed his flock like a shepherd. That's the job of the shepherd, and that is to feed the sheep. This is what Jesus told Peter. Do you love me? He said, well, then feed my sheep. He was calling Peter to become the first pastor, but that's what he was saying. You are called to be the first pastor. He was commanding that you feed my sheep if you love me. And this is a major job of the shepherd, and that is to feed God's sheep. In these passages, God is giving us pastors as shepherds. Self-denial is the main ingredient in a shepherd, because if you get someone that is arrogant or haughty or think there's something or even approaching it for the wrong reason, then they are what the scripture is referring to as a hireling, meaning they're only doing it for the money. Oh God, I could preach that for a while. You know, as we've been looking for a new place to relocate our ministry, Arlington Bible Church, you know, it seems like in the bad economy, every saved man that lost his job went and started a church. There are churches everywhere, and I'm beginning to learn that a lot of these people don't really have a call to start a church. They are hirelings, meaning they are doing it for the money. If they can get 25 people to give to them consistently every week, then it will make up for the missing income. And folks are becoming hirelings over the sheep. But the danger of that is John 10 and 12 saying that when the wolf comes, the hireling will leave the sheep, meaning when trouble or turmoil come, he will forget about the sheep and begin to think about himself. He'll start preaching about money. He'll start preaching constantly about giving. He'll start badgering and beating the people over with bake sales and car washes and just trying to get all the money out of the people. That's what this scripture is saying. When the wolf comes or the adversary comes, when testing times come, this hireling will not protect the sheep. So we got to be careful as we are entering into these last days. There are going to be many people that are going to start works and start churches and consider themselves shepherds, but they're not called of God to be a shepherd. Jeremiah 23:1 says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them or cared for them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." So God is taking a proactive stand against those pastors that are not of him. And let me tell you something, people of God. You can always tell when you're following a ministry that is not ordained of God. Just because they got a big church don't mean God called them. But you can always tell, because you won't see the fruits of what they're preaching in their own lives. You won't see the fruits of what they're promising you in your life. So this is the number one sign that you are a part of the wrong movement, when the stuff is not working. And that is the bottom line. When the stuff they're preaching and doing is not working, and the stuff they're trying to tell you to do is not even working in their own house, then you know you are a part of something that is not of God. You are following a hireling. You know, I did a lesson on my website, on my blog, and it was the 10 signs of a carnal church. And you can read those signs and know that you are under or have submitted yourself under a hireling and not a good shepherd, or a shepherd that was called by God. This is very important for us to understand, because to be a good shepherd, you have to be like Christ. This is why he says, "Woe unto those that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." God is saying that vengeance is his, and he's going to come against those that are scattering the flock. They're pastoring because they can't do nothing else. They're pastoring because they can't keep their job. The first thing on the agenda when they start a church is their salary. And so, yeah, whatever comes in, I need a tenth of it. And, you know, you got to watch out for this stuff, because I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not saying all pastors. There are some wonderful pastors. Some of them are wonderful friends of mine and men that I hold in high regard and esteem, some good friends in the Metroplex. But there are some that are pastoring because somebody told them to. There are some that are in leadership positions and God does not know them at all. So let's go through this real quick, and then I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close, but I want you to get the qualifications in this passage. Now, of course, you can go to Timothy and get the qualifications of the leadership position of a pastor or a bishop, where the children have to be in all gravity, can't be given to strong drink, the husband of one wife, all of these different things. But right now, I'm going to give you what Jesus said out of his own mouth. And this is before you even try to fulfill those qualifications, which are character qualifications. You have to first deal with the call of God. And that is what we're talking about now. God calling you to the ministry of being a shepherd, just like he called Peter and said, "Feed my sheep." Has God called you to this ministry? Let's listen to these qualifications, starting with verse 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So we know the first qualification is giving yourself for those that you lead. You have to deny yourself for the needs of others. So you have to deny your own desires to help other people. So even when it can't benefit you, it needs to benefit the people. That means that you got to give your time. You have to give yourself. You have to give of your own self to help others if you want to be a true shepherd. This is self-denial. So Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd, and a good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." And of course, he was talking about dying and giving his life so that all can be saved. But it is an example of what a true shepherd is all about, giving your life for your sheep. The second thing he says, "But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, who owns the sheep or not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep." So the second one is, he protects the sheep from the wolves. Now, listen, people of God, if you're going to be a true shepherd, if you're under a leader, his job is to protect you from the wolves. He's watching your soul and protecting you from harm. That's his job. So listen, people, you don't want to be under somebody that's wishy-washy and won't say anything when different issues issues are arising, even when it's people getting up preaching heresy and lying to people and doing things in the public eye that are notably against God or anti-Christ. You got to be under a man of God that will stand up and address those things. We need some men of God that's going to stand up and say, no, this is a lie. This is not the truth. Don't believe this. Don't follow this. This will lead you to destruction. That is protecting people from wolves, especially wolves that are in sheep's clothing. We need to make sure that we're standing up in this hour for truth and we're calling it out so that the people can be warned and saved. The next thing, let's go to John 10 and 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That means what? That you know the sheep. A good shepherd knows the sheep. He's careful to get to know those that follow him. Listen to this, people of God. This is very important. You need to be under someone that can call your name out in prayer, that knows you, knows your face, knows your name, understands you. This is the danger of the mega church, because so many people are under some of these ministries. And I know some of them have cell groups and all these different things. But the Bible says to know those that labor among you. It is very important that you know your pastor. It's very important that you know the man that you're following. It's very important that that man of God knows his sheep. It's very important that he understands his sheep, because by knowing his sheep, he understands the needs of the sheep. If you watch a true shepherd, he understands which sheep are fast, which sheep can run slow, which sheep are maimed or have issues, which sheep are too heavy. He knows that by being a true shepherd. He gets to know all of the sheep. He grabs them and puts them in his arms so they will know him. This is what Christ said he would do for us in Isaiah 40. So understand this, y'all. A true shepherd will get to know his sheep and get to know his flock, because how can he preach to them? How can he feel their need if he does not know them and understand their specific needs? So the true shepherd knows his sheep. And then in 14, that same passage, he says, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine, meaning that the sheep know me. This is very important, because the sheep need to know the shepherd. The sheep, you need to know who you're following, and that person needs to be touchable. Now, I know this is going to mess a bunch of folks up, and they say, you can't touch the man of God. That's why he got 20 armor bearers around him slapping folks and kicking them in the shin when they come to try to shake the pastor's hand. Y'all, that's a bunch of foolishness. Any man of God that you can't get to, shake his hand and talk to, you don't need to follow, because you can't trust him. You can't trust him because he don't want to be known of you. This is the danger of that mega church mentality, when Jesus is saying right here, I'm a good shepherd, know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In other words, he was touchable. He walked among the people. He laid hands on them and healed them and prayed for them. And then he taught his apostles to do the same thing. They were touchable. So they went and laid hands and prayed for him. And I know folks saying, it's dangerous and whatever. That's why we got a security team. You can never trust. If you can't trust the Holy Ghost to lay hands on folks and not worry about your own safety, then what kind of God are you? I mean, you act like you in a video game or something. I mean, are you serving God? What use are you if you can't lay hands and pray for the people that are following you? These people give you offering and you want money and you flying around in jets and driving Rolls Royces and they can't shake your hand. That, y'all, that is some foolishness. I wouldn't be under anybody that I couldn't touch and even talk to or shake hands and meet. Come on, people of God. This is ridiculous, but we treat these folks like kings and stuff, like we're peasants and they are kings and we can't get to them because we're just mere peasants and lowly people and you're just dumb sheep and you can't touch the shepherd. That is phony baloney, y'all. Please don't fall for that foolishness in 2010. The next thing, let's go to John 10 and 15, and I'm going to bring this to a close. He said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. What is he saying? He's saying you need to first be called of God to be a shepherd. What did he say? As the Father knoweth me. So that means the Father knew me. The Father called me and put me in position. God grants permission and gives the shepherd sheep to care for it. So God's not going to give you sheep unless he knows you. Now, you can go gather some folks, get some folks under you to pay your bills if you want to. But unless God calls you, it won't be ordained of God. God's blessings won't be over that house. And the people that follow will be in turmoil and torment as they follow this hireling that has brought them in and taken advantage of them. So you're a hireling if God doesn't know you, but you're a shepherd if he knows you. And that is why Jesus said, as the Father knows me. And that brings me to my next point. The rest of this verse, he says, so know I the Father. What is he saying there? He's saying that I know God. So in order to be a good shepherd, you need to know God. The shepherd keeps a relationship with God to fulfill the will of God, which is to what? Lay down your life for the sheep. So unless you're maintaining a relationship with the true and living God, how do you know when a man has a relationship with the true and living God? Listen to what he's saying, y'all. If all he talk about is who he knows and what he's got, then you know he don't have no relationship with God. He has a relationship with his favorite person, and that is himself. But a true man of God that has a relationship with God will speak the things according to the word. His concern will be that you know the word and that the word of God sets you free and makes your life better. That is a true man that is called of God. So he says, the Father knows me, meaning the Father has called me to be this person or called me to be the shepherd. And then he says, I know the Father, meaning I know the will of the Father, and I will do that will for the sheep. So listen, people, these are some very important things that we need to realize about being a shepherd. You need to give your life for those that you lead. You need to protect the sheep from wolves. You need to know your sheep, and then the sheep need to know you. Then you need to be called of God, and then you need to know God. So these are some very important characteristics of a good shepherd. These are the characteristics that Jesus had. These are the stipulations Jesus put on him being a good shepherd. I love it because he explains it. He doesn't just say, I'm a good shepherd, but he explains what the good shepherd is. And he goes through each one of these points to let us know what a good shepherd is. So if you ever want to know what a good leader in the body of Christ, a person you want to follow, what they're all about, you can hold it up to this word in the Gospel of John, and you can see what Jesus requires as a good shepherd and who he calls good when it comes to leading God's people. I hope you've been blessed by this, and we're going to continue the I Am's of God next week. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you because you gave your son Jesus as a good shepherd, good example of what a good shepherd is all about, a good leader of the body, a good person that cares for the sheep and lays his life down for the sheep. And Father, we know we are living in an age where people start churches for all kinds of reasons. But Father God, I do believe that you have a remnant of men that you've called to be leaders in the body of Christ and to be shepherds over your sheep. And Father, I pray that they would continue to feed your sheep in this hour. God, it's getting rough for preachers to stay focused sometimes. But Father, I pray right now that you will give them the strength and the courage to stick to the book, to stick to the word, to stick to the gospel. Continue to feed the sheep, God. Not deprive the sheep of food, but feed the sheep, God, from their heart and soul and innermost being, Father, so they can be good shepherds in this last hour. We give you glory and honor, believing that you've called some men and they are chosen by you to stand in this last day. Father, I pray that sheep would find these shepherds, and Father, those that may be wandering, God, you will open their eyes and give them a place where there is a good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.